This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. African Americans are heavily represented in contact sports, such as football and basketball, but not so much in so-called lifetime sports, such as tennis or golf. A UAB sociologist who studies race and gender in sports says the reality is not so simple or fair. Adrian Milner tells WBHM's Dan Carson she's intrigued by inequality in all fields. However,
sports is specifically interesting to me, though, because people think it's meritocratic. So most institutions, people know, okay, we've never had a female president, or the criminal justice system is flawed, or the education systems, we can tell that there's disparities. But sports, people think, look at all the representation of historically disadvantaged groups, specifically blacks, it must be fair. So when you can point out the disparities in sports context, you can say, well, what are the implications for the criminal justice system then? If we think sports are equal and they're so unequal, what else is going on in our other social institutions? So we see disparities in sports in terms of decision-making processes or access to participation. And if you're not giving certain groups, such as blacks, access to, you know, low-contact, low-injury sports like tennis and golf, you're going to have less of a role modeling effect and even prevent further access. Sports, you know, just like any other societal system, they reflect and reproduce inequities.
So the average sports spectator looks at the NFL or the NBA, where there's a lot of money to be made. Now, granted, a lot of people do get injured. How do you sort of make the case that these sports are not meritocratic?
So, I mean, we can look at disparities in things like coaching. We don't have a diverse representation of people in decision-making processes, whether that be racial minorities or women. We can also see this in ownership and also in peripheral positions, team doctors, team accountants, personal agents, these sorts of things where we are still seeing a lack of women and racial minorities. There's very few studies on access, and that's, you know, that is what equity is. You know, desegregation was not about, do we need Harvard to be 50% black, 50% white? It was, can black students get to Harvard? That is the whole point of access. And when you have an overrepresentation, a certain racial group being funneled into a violent sport such as football that is causing years off people's lives and brain injuries, I would say that this is an epidemic.
You see this as just another segment of society where inequity sort of shows itself.
Yes. And I mean, we're talking about life and death, and we don't even know what the end outcomes are because the sport is getting more and more violent. We're hitting harder. We have more physical prowess in terms of weightlifting and sleeping in hyperbaric chambers and creatine and supplements and all these things. So we don't even know what the outcomes are going to be in decades to come. But when we see these huge disparities of overrepresentation of a group that makes up, you know, 10 to 13% of the population, and it's almost 70% of the NFL, we have to wonder, how is this happening and what can we do about it?
I was just going to ask you that. What can be done about that?
Whites, if they're selecting into the UFC or they're selecting into other violent sports such as hockey, they still have the opportunities to play low-impact sports like golf and tennis, where we're not giving African-Americans the same opportunities. So, you know, we have to look at access, and that's equity of opportunity. Maybe we can look at government subsidies into making public golf courses more readily available or giving access to swimming pools. So in other countries, something like golf, it's not as much of a rich person's sport because there's just more courses in poverty areas. And I think also knowledge and education of the risk versus the rewards. The statistics to becoming a professional athlete are so small. I mean, where we really need doctors and professors and radio broadcasters and everything else. So I think also important is diminishing ideology, suggesting there is some sort of natural superiority of blacks is incredibly important. That ideology has carried over, and there's absolutely nothing true about it since race is a social construction. Studies have shown over and over that race is not real in of itself. So if racial disparities do not exist biologically, we cannot say one group is better or worse at sports. Sports are made up. So you can't be naturally better. There's no football gene.
You're a former athlete. I've been involved in sports one way or another for most of my life. So this is not coming from someone who does not enjoy sports. But when I see the passion, the worldwide fanaticism, the money, the time, the energy spent on doing things with a ball or watching other people do things with a ball, I can't help but think, imagine if all that effort, energy, time, passion, discipline went into, say, educating kids or solving world hunger or any of the other real problems we face. Are sports overvalued?
I think that's a really interesting question. And I think it's about what aspects of sports are over and undervalued. I think sports are not overvalued in the sense that they can be an area for social change. I mean, we saw that Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in baseball before schools were desegregated.
And you think that's important because it lets people see a black man as a man?
Yes.
I mean, perception does really matter, doesn't it?
Yeah, ideology is going to affect outcomes.
That's UAB sociologist Adrian Milner speaking with WBHM's Dan Carson. You're going to hear an extended version of this conversation at our website, wbhm.org.